This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I'm having trouble trying to sleep.
Yeah. I know what that's about. 888-808-1019. McMonagle filling in for Keith McPherson today. Bumped up a little bit. Got another 2 hours on our 5-hour ride to midnight. I believe the Knicks just went final. Blowout victory against Miami. Karl Anthony Towns with a big game at the start. Went on a personal 15-0 run. I believe, if I'm told correctly, a lot went on with this game. If you think about all the different things that went on with this Heat-Knicks game, Heat jump out to an early, 10-12-point lead, 12-0 before the Knicks get their first basket. Then Karl Anthony Towns, after all the news about how he doesn't have any friends on the team, they all went and shook hands with the enemy of Draymond Green, after saying he was ducking Jimmy Butler as opposed to the actual funeral he was at when he missed the last time they played Golden State before this most recent game. So nobody had his back. It's an embarrassment. It's a terrible look. It shows that they're not together. It shows that they're not tough. And Karl Anthony Towns is going to have a problem with his teammates. Well, he rallies them back from an early deficit, goes on an absolute run, gets to the basket, hits long threes. He ends up scoring 23 points in this game, and I would have to venture 18 in the first half or so. They're on cruise control the rest of the game. You've got Tracy Morgan being forced to, is wheeled out of the building after causing a 10-minute delay in the game for vomiting all over the court. After that, the Knicks go on a 19-2 run where Josh Hart ends up having his 8th triple-double of the season, tied for the most in Knicks history for a season with the great Walt Clyde Frazier. He has 13 rebounds, 11 assists, and 12 points. He's a plus 31 in the game. The Knicks absolutely blow out the Heat, 116 to 95. They score 41 points in the third quarter. I mean, that's a lot to have happen. After a tough loss against Golden State, to bounce back with a dominant victory against, let's be honest, a lousy 10 games under 500 now Miami team. But to bounce back, to show a little toughness, Karl-Anthony Towns getting to the basket at will for a stretch, hitting long threes, Josh Hart bouncing back after a couple of really bad games to have his eighth triple-double of the year. The Knicks get an easy blowout victory. 28 points from Mikal Bridges as well, who went 10 for 14 from the floor, 4 of 6 from three-point land, and got to the foul line four times. So an overall good performance from this Knicks team. It shows you what they're capable of offensively. Nobody played above 32 minutes. Just a solid, solid Knicks victory after all the turmoil, all the conversation about Karl-Anthony Towns and his teammates and the toughness and all those things that go with it, after simply not wanting to be sore losers and walking off the court after they got their ass beat. I don't understand the thought process with how many people wanted them to what? Walk off the court without shaking hands with people? Like, it's just so dumb. And hopefully this proves it. It feels like Karl-Anthony Towns had no residual issues, went 10 of 17 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3, scored a nice, easy 23 points, didn't have to do much the rest of the game as the Knicks blow out the Miami Heat. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the Yankees a little bit, because the last caller mentioned, look, I know where the Yankee pitching staff is, and I know where the Yankee offense is, and you know, the doom and gloom around the New York Yankees. I've done this already on the overnights, but I'll do it here because, maybe some people don't get a chance to hear me as much. The doom and gloom around the New York Yankees is ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is still one of the better teams in the American League. They're not the best team in the American League. Heading into the year, they pivoted off of losing Juan Soto to become a defensive team and a pitching team. And their rotation was elite in the American League. And their bullpen, which still is, despite all the injuries they're dealing with there, at the back end of the bullpen, is still with Weaver and Williams. That is as good a back end of the bullpen. Add in Hamilton, who's been really good for the Yankees over the last 2 years. The only issue is, guess what? He can't stay healthy. The New York Yankees back end of the bullpen is really good. And this rotation, even with the injuries they've suffered, is still a solid rotation with a legitimate ace in Max Fried at the top of it. And the lineup, which nobody wants to talk about, as we heard today that, Goldschmidt was pulled after having a little bit of a sore back. He says he's going to be fine. He played three innings, had a couple of at-bats. They pulled him after that. It's a precautious thing. We get all worried, right? He's older. The injuries that have just absolutely decimated this team. So anytime we hear anything, we get very nervous. Same thing with Clark Schmidt, who skipped the start, shoulder fatigue or shoulder soreness. He threw a bullpen yesterday. He said, or later, that's a force of habit. Sorry, it is still today. I'm used to being on tomorrow. Most of my shows start tomorrow. Today, I'm on today. So he threw a bullpen today. Says he feels great. Great. But this lineup, what people don't want to talk about, people want to talk about the injuries to the rotation. People want to talk about no third baseman. People want to talk about Jason Dominguez in left field. All valid questions, all concerns, all things I've been yelling about for a month. But that doesn't change the fact that they are still one of the better teams in the American League. And right now, you look at this offense. Everybody wants to tell me there's no hope for this offense. It's trash. I know it's spring training, but Jason Dominguez continues to hit home runs. And he looks like a legit threat, opposite field power, switch hitter. Like, getting a chance to watch Jason Dominguez all year is one of the more exciting things about this team. Bellinger is having one of the better spring trainings in all of baseball. Goldschmidt, before being pulled here, was starting to really drive the baseball the other way. Ben Rice, who's probably going to be the DH because the Yankees do love him. And if you listen to Brian Cashman on MLB Radio earlier in the day, he's talked about Ben Rice is killing the baseball. offensively. Like, the New York Yankees do have options. Judge is ice cold. I don't care. He'll be fine come spring training. Judge is a given. You want to see Ben Rice have a good spring. You want to see Bellinger coming over having a good spring. You want to see Goldschmidt having a good spring. You want to see Jason Dominguez having a good spring. The offense is having good at-bats. They have a chance to be better than people think. And you look around the rest of the American League. The Red Sox improved their rotation. They've got a decent lineup, and they have a bunch of prospects who could come up and fill the roster that they're very high on, very excited about. The Red Sox should be much better than they've been over the last couple of years. Outside of that, you got Jose Altuve playing left field. Every single Yankee fan wants to scream about how the Yankees play guys out of position. Jose Altuve is in left field. Did you see the experiment that is right now for the Houston Astros, who lost Tucker, who lost Bregman, who are playing Altuve in left field? Everyone tells me the Central doesn't count. So you can just eliminate the Central, because when the Yankees beat them in the playoffs, they're not even real baseball teams. So forget the Central. Out West, you got the Texas Rangers, a depleted Houston Astros team, and a Boston Red Sox team. That's it. The New York Yankees still have the best hitter in the world, and they have an ace starter, and they have a top two closer in baseball to go along with Weaver being the setup man, who was brilliant for them last year down the stretch. I understand Cole's gone, and the last caller had some issues with the way Cole handled it, and there's some things like the idea that the Yankees. Let me just ask you this. I know we're all down on the Yankees, right? And we hate Brian Cash and we hate Aaron Boone. Fine. If there was more of a worry, right? And as far as we know, his elbow injury last year was nerve related, and he didn't have a tear of the UCL. And we have seen guys avoid that, like Tanaka, and pitch a long time without ever having to have the surgery. He opted out of his contract, and then went right back in with the New York Yankees. And everybody assumed it was because, hey, he didn't want other teams seeing his medicals. I think his agent, Scott Boras, told him that if he opted out, the Yankees would pick up that 10th year because they have no choice. They're not risking losing you. They said no, and he said, screw this, I'm not playing games, and decided to sign back with the New York Yankees. I don't think it was a medical thing, because two people, you would have to, if you believe that there was something fishy going on with Gerrit Cole, more than just, hey, he did have a little bit of an injury, a elbow injury last year. He is getting older, and any pitcher could go at any time. If you think there was more of a concern than that, then the Yankees are ridiculously stupid, and so is Gerrit Cole. Because the New York Yankees and Gerrit Cole did not treat this spring training as if he was one bad pitch away from Tommy John surgery. His last outing, he went out there in the second inning and threw over 27 pitches, got taken out of the game, and then brought back into the game. If you think that's how they are handling, I mean, right now Goldschmidt says, I just felt something in my back. Sit your ass on the bench. Hey, I just threw a bullpen. I don't know if my arm is feeling as... Then you don't pitch. Like, they have been overly cautious with everybody about everything. But Gerrit Cole, making $36 million, their ace starting pitcher, is on the verge of Tommy John surgery, and they're letting him throw 30 pitches in an inning and then bringing him back out in his second spring training start. I find that almost as guaranteed evidence that this wasn't some sort of, his UCL is in a horrendous shape and it's just a matter of moments. They wouldn't have treated him like that. And he wouldn't have been throwing 97, 98 in his second start. They would have eased their way into this a million different ways, as opposed to going full steam ahead, which is exactly how they handled him. So enough with the conspiracy theories, enough with the nonsense. The Yankees have been bit by the injury bug at an incredible level. Some of it is Giancarlo Stanton, who you can expect, right? And then some of it, we could say Cole, you can expect. Cole was the most durable pitcher in all of the major leagues for a half a decade before last year's elbow injury. That's part of the reason he was justified being given the contract he was given. He always takes the ball. But some of the injuries are just plain bad luck. But the New York Yankees are going to overcome it. You know why? Because they do it every single year. Their rotation was in the same tattered, you know, disaster that it is right now. And guys stepped up. And right now they found Will Warren, and he's going to have to be a part of this. And Cookie Carrasco is going to be in the rotation. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't love it, but they can't afford to lose the depth. They can't afford to lose it. So they'll probably start Will Warren in the minor leagues. They'll go with Carrasco in the five-man rotation to start the year because they can't afford to lose him. And we'll see what they get from him. He's looked good in spring. But all we hear about is the injuries. No one wants to talk about how the offense is doing really well. We're seeing really good stuff out of Dominguez. We're having a great the Yankees are having a great spring out of Bellinger, out of Goldschmidt, out of Dominguez, out of Trent Grisham, out of their backup catcher. Let's just see the season play out before we call it a disaster. What do you say? Just give it a try. I mean, they haven't had a disaster in, I don't know, 30-plus years. But let's just see. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Bobby in Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
How are you?
Good. I'm doing well, Bobby. How are you?
Good. If I get to the Yankees, I think Charles Oakley would have decked green right the first quarter. But anyway, let me get to the Yankees. The top four players in the postseason last year were Cole, Stanton, Soto, and Torres. And they're not going to be there in the postseason this year, it looks like. That's number one. So I want to get your feeling. I know the American League is weak. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, let me talk about the second group of four that are new players in regards to the postseason. Bellinger is a 211 postseason hitter. Yes, he pitched great in 2021, the Atlanta clincher, but he's had over a five ERA, and he was been hurt the last 2 years, and he got bombed in the playoffs last year. Goldsmith's numbers have come down the last 3 years, and now he's already starting with the bat to a 37-year-old. It is concerning because of his age. And Williams, the last time I saw Williams pitch, he got bombed by Alonso in the playoffs.
Oh, he gave up one home run. Come on, the guy's been the best. He's got the lowest ERA in the bullpen. He pitches. He's got a career 1.7 ERA.
But Chris, we kind of won home run. They went home because of it.
But it's one. You want me to give you Mariano walk-off home runs? You want to give you Mariano moments?
To be Mariano.
What made Mariano? I mean, I'm just saying, 97, Mariano, first year as a closer.
But he already, won the World Series. Hello?
Yes. They won the World Series in 96. He wasn't the closer.
Yeah, I understand, but he's got something to prove in the playoffs. I understand the central stinks. The central stinks that there's no strong team in the AL, but it's not given, and they're going to get to the World Series, and they're missing
their best
postseason players from last year.
I understand that they're missing they're missing Stanton, who was their best postseason player last year. Then you're missing Soto, and you're missing Torres, who was very good for them. In the postseason, I know, but I get it. But like, again, we hate Torres. Then he's gone. It's like, yeah, but oh man, in the postseason. Oh, we hate. Oh, Stanton, what a bum he's in. Oh, but he hits in the postseason. Yeah, like I said. But like Max Fried, he's got the lowest ERA in all of baseball since 2020. The idea that he's like not been good last year. He still managed to throw. I mean, injury prone. He had 29 starts last year. It was a little bit of a down year for him. He got much better in the second half. He had a 3.25 ERA. The year before, in a very short 77-inning season, 2.5. The year before that, 2.48. Like, when he's on the mound, he's good. Like, I know he was injury prone in the 77 and two-third innings in 23. He pitched to a 2.55 in 2022. He made 30 starts, 2.4. Like, he's not really injury prone. He had the one injury year. Like, if you look at it since 2019, 30 starts. In 2020, 11 starts because of the shortened season. So 30 starts, a full season. 11 starts, a full season. 21, 28 starts, pretty much a full season. 22, 30 starts, pretty much a full season. 23, only 14 starts. And then last year, 24, 29 starts. Like the idea that he's just been devastated by injuries constantly, 30, 28, 30, 29. Like he's made full starts in every year since 2019, but one. And in that year, he pitched to a 2.55 ERA. Like, let's not try and like minimize who he is. He's been an excellent starting pitcher. An excellent starting pitcher. You're going to give me his postseason numbers. Okay, I get it. Like, that's a guarantee that he won't be good in the postseason moving forward? And you know, and then you want to talk about Williams, and he gave up a home run. Are we serious? He gave up one home run. The guy's been a dominant relief pitcher. You could argue since he came into the league, he's the best relief pitcher in the game. I mean, Devin Williams, he has a career ERA of 1.83. Last year, he only threw 21 innings, right? Last year, he had the injury. 21 innings. Coming off an injury, coming back from an injury, pitched to a 1.25. In 2023, 1.53, 1.93. Like, this is, like, over the, he hasn't seen an ERA over two since 2021. It's kind of a big home run. Yeah, he gave up a home run. You want me to count how many games Mariano blew? Because in all the series they lost, I can point to Mariano blowing the game. 97. And I'm not trying, Mo is the greatest, but like, let's not act like this is, oh man, Devin Williams gave up a home run. How good is he? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. Pete Alonso hit the home run. Nobody wanted to pay him. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls after this.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lin's sanity continues here at Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
We got another hour and a half here until we get till midnight on our ride to midnight here on this Monday evening. McMonagle filling in for Keith. We'll take it at 5 when Gallo comes your way. Little Anthony Gallo at midnight. He's working hard, making videos for everybody but me all day. Busy, busy, busy. He did something I have to call him out for because it was the weirdest. It was an odd thing. He was out there in the newsroom. He's been here all day, much like me, but he's not on until midnight. So he's out there, and apparently he had like a microwavable dinner. And I think it was like Mexican. It was like an enchilada or something. And he just, it was very like five-year-old kid or Billy Madison-ish, where he went and bought a bag of Doritos and just crunched them up and put them in, like just took a whole bag of Doritos and just crunched them up into the enchiladas. And I was like, that's interesting. That's very, he's like, it's because it's terrible, with his deep voice. It's terrible, so I had to add some flavor. I'm like,
so
no.
So your Mike imitation and yeah, your Gallo imitation is the same?
Very similar. Well, yeah, I guess a little bit. But with Mike, that, can I just say something? So let me defend Mike for a second. I want to bring this up. Mike, obviously there's a video going around. I don't know, he's searching for it now. There's a video going around where Mike is doing his podcast and he's talking about St. John's. And I feel like I am in a very unique, I have a very unique perspective on this because I have been the gentleman that Mike is talking to. So Mike's doing something on his podcast, the Bet Rivers podcast, and he thinks he hears or, you know, hears someone in his headset. And sometimes there could be a million reasons for that. You know, push the wrong button, something bled through for some reason or another. But Mike thinks they're talking to him. From the video, you could tell clearly they're not because they have no real answer. And Mike is just like, well, who said it in my headset? He didn't realize he's live. Apparently, sometimes they do it live. Sometimes they tape them. So I guess he was just confused on whether or not he was live or not. So he decides to stop the show to just, you know, ask who the hell is talking in his headset, and he believes the information they tried to give him was incorrect about St. John's and being considered Big East champions already without winning the tournament. And it's just for a funny moment that I thought, watching it, and I quoted, tweeted it, and I put it out, and I said, the good old days, and I put three crowns for the king. Like, I just thought it was a funny moment. Then I know it was worded by the guy who posted it, Funhouse, who's been posting Mike's clips for forever, yelled at. But I didn't think much of that. But apparently it's going around and like people are getting on Mike again for what a grumpy old man yelled. That was nothing. Mike didn't yell at anybody. Like, I am shocked. Like, it's more of just typical Mike funny, where he's, you know, he thought someone was talking his headset, and then he didn't realize he was live to stop the show. He thought he could just stop the show that they were taping. He just says, stop the show real quick, and thinks that you could just stop it. And then he has this conversation. But I have worked with Mike, I think I worked with Mike like 6 or 7 years. Right. And then I even worked with Mike again when he came back the second time, and I was working both him and CMB at the same time. I was doing one show and then I would walk over to the other show. But I worked with Mike for a long time, and I have been on that opposite end where he asks you questions and you're not sure exactly what's going on, why he's upset or why he wants to know what he wants to know, and you don't have an answer to give him.
McGonagall.
Yeah, McGonagall's been there. McGonagall has been there. And that
now, this is going to go viral now because I yelled at you guys.
Well, listen, that's the only he admitted he yelled. He shouldn't have said that because he didn't yell at anybody. He was just asked, he just won't let it go sometimes.
Did he ever yell, though, like raising his voice?
Occasionally.
Because
but
maybe for him, that's, you know, reprimanding is the yelling.
I guess. I've been on the opposite end of far worse. Far worse. And that's not to say Mike was a tyrant. Mike was a pleasure. Honestly, Mike was a great guy to work for. He was amazing. He was generous. He helped me in so many different ways. Really, I wish I did. I wish I could tell you I had a negative thing about anybody I worked with. I really didn't. Everyone I worked with. You know, the only thing, Steve, if you didn't hit the sound right when he wanted it, he'd be in a bad mood for a while, and you felt like he blamed you even though he wouldn't outwardly blame you. Like, that was about it. And Mike, you know, there was occasions like that or days where he was a little bit to himself more than others. But, like, Mike was fine to work with. Craig and Evan were just tremendous. And, you know, they were just so awesome to let me be a part of the show on the level that they let me be a part of the show on. Like, it was just, I have no complaints. None. And the idea that Mike is, like, you know, difficult. I get asked that whenever I don't get it asked that anymore, thankfully. Now they ask me about my own show and when the hell's it on. But back when I was working with Mike, like, I would get that question. Oh, you work for Francesa? What do you like? Oh, he's, you know, the question would be, he's a jerk, right? And I'd be like, no, like, I know, you know, he takes, when you call in, you're part of the show and you're expected to be able to perform or handle it. And if you have nothing to say or nonsense to say, he goes back at you. But no, I thought it was hilarious. I see the Post or different places running with the idea that Mike yelling at his, you know, producers, that wasn't yelling at all. He was simply answering a question and they didn't know how to answer it. So he kept asking it over and over again. That's all it was. And I have been there and you look, and I don't know how they have it set up. I don't know if they're in the producers are in the same room, if it's more than one guy. What's going on? I know a little bit because I'm still friends with his producer Monzo, who I worked with forever and been good friends with forever. But like, I could just imagine you get that, like, when it was me and Mons, he would ask a question about something and we're not sure exactly, and we would just, like, you'd look at each other and you'd just be like, what should I say? What do I like? So I could just imagine them, you know, probably not intending to speak into his headset. Somehow it gets into his headset. He assumes they're trying to talk to him and he just wants to know why, and they don't even know what to say. Like, I've been there, and that's what it made me laugh. It just took me back to moments like that where you're just like, I don't know, Mike. I don't know. What'd you hear exactly? Because I wasn't trying to talk to you. Like, so what did you hear first? It was just classic. But if it's going viral for him being, you know, mean to his producers, that is nonsense. That was nothing. That was a funny moment. That was all that was. That was just classic Mike. Tremendous. Tremendous video. Mike's birthday's coming up. I got to reach out to Mike. Happy birthday. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
G-Mac, how you doing, man?
Good buddy, how are you?
I'm doing all right. So really quick on that that mic down, but, you know, what's funny about that, him talking about, we're on live, kind of reminds me of the him ripping the fort while ripping Adam Gase clip, the whole thing about, it's not on live, you dopes and all that, you know, he swore on his kids' lives and all that he didn't rip the fort. And I know that's one of the iconic clips that, funny, I says that whole thread, I know he can't stand it. Kind of like his his Achilles heel, but, you know, you go through all the clips of him talking about it not being live. I think, you know, you and Mons and all the board ops throughout the years.
Yeah, that, it's very, it's
and
very.
Now he's on the YouTube digital.
It's a story. That clip is very much like the new report, old report. Like, he walked in after watching a replay of the Mets' former season, and he thought that it was information live, and he just goes in and starts talking about it, and Monzo and I have no idea, like, and then he said, what do you mean, is that it's not the case? And I'm just like,
is that a new report or an old report?
Right, so then we're scrambling first to even just get, like, we're not even sure what he's talking about. He didn't run it by us. He ran right into the newsroom and started talking, ran back into the studio and started talking. Like, that was that moment where he's asking us stuff, and I don't even know what to say to him. Like, that's what that clip reminded me of.
Which right now!
Right now.
You got that whole thread. You don't need me to tell you. I'm obviously classic. The 18-horse griller. I mean, it's not, I remember some of these when my father would listen to the station more mm-hmm. than me. We'd bring up Gorilla, the giant picnic and all that. I can't pass Route 80 Totowa without cracking a smile.
Yeah, the New York Giants and the San Francisco Giants, that clip about them getting together, Evan called it. Now, everyone asked me about it. It's the most popular. Like, people mention it all the time. Everybody loves it. You know, Funhouse will post it on the anniversary, and it goes viral again. And Evan Roberts, one day, I remember listening, he ranked the best moments in WFAN history, and that was number one. He called that number one. I was there that day, and we laughed or whatever, but I didn't give it a second thought after it was over, and I had no idea that it would go down as one of the great moments in WFAN history, but that was a fun call.
I think just because it was so simple. I mean, the fact that he legit thought, like, he knew 18 hours. He knew he was BSing. I think the Dan and Wallwick, he thought he was legit, like a legit question.
Yeah.
But it makes it all the more funny. Hey, really quick on the NCAA, you know, best time of the year. You know, obviously, you know, to boot, we got this opening day with an asterisk. I mean, you know, they don't even technically, you know, they talk about opening weekend being a week away when they count these two games and the fact of the, you know, spring training all that to follow.
Yeah.
But we got those games, and then obviously this bracket coming up. I'll tell you this. I don't know a damn thing about half these teams, but, man, there's just nothing better than you throw a game on at noon and just sit with me.
Right. No.
I got classes going on. I throw a game on the iPad. I'll tell you this with the predictions. I'll tell you this. Last couple of years, I had UConn winning the thing. So they won the last two. I had them winning in 22 before the back-to-back. They were a one-and-done against, like, New Mexico or somebody. And I had Auburn and Florida in the final four last year. I know Auburn won the SEC title. I didn't know that at the time. That was just, you know, sheer, you know, gut choice or whatever. And they were a one-and-done against Yale. So, you know, kind of this whole thing, I'm picking teams right before they emerge onto the scene. So I'm kind of running it back with the prediction. But, you know, as far as the Johnnies go to think, if I had to have, you know, pick a school, I lean Seton Hall. And it's kind of crazy to think that the Johnnies and Seton Hall were kind of hand-in-hand last year. You know, you're talking about UNC, the two scrubs last year. And of all people, Kadarius Richmond goes from the Hall over to Johnnies with the NIL and everybody. And while Seton Hall had an abysmal year, and they're not going to get anybody with the NIL. The Giants are only going to get richer, and Richmond was a big part of it. So it's kind of a kick to the you know what.
Yeah, no, you're right, I watch a little bit of college basketball. I talk about this. I watch some college basketball, probably more than I even watch college football. College football is impossible. You know, it's very difficult. I have two young boys. I'm coaching teams. I'm doing things, and I dedicate all of Sunday to television. I'm sorry, I can't just say, sorry, honey, and Tommy and Andrew. Like, my entire weekend is, Saturday is nothing but college football, and then Sunday is nothing but the NFL. Like, I can't do that. It's impossible. So, but you're right. There is nothing better than Thursday and Friday. Thursday and Friday are arguably the two best sporting days of the entire year. That's how great the tournament is. That's how great these games are. Like, it is so much fun to be able to turn the games on at 11:40 or 12, whenever they start, and you just watch game after game after game, and they're all so hard fought. Like, again, I'm a little bit, I think people who like the college game better than the NBA game are just, you know, hung up on the idea that sometimes during the regular season, the NBA players don't play defense, whatever. You watch these games. I'm not trying to crap on the tournament because I'm saying it's the greatest sporting event of the year. But, you know, the play isn't as good, but they freaking work their ass off. And that's what we love, right? These kids are fighting for everything. They want these games desperately. They play hard. There's upsets. There's game after game after game. And these 2 days are the best 2 days of the year. That's why, Craig was the first one to tell me this. It's the largest time of the year to have vasectomies. Men have more vasectomies this time of year so that they can take off of work and sit at home and watch college basketball Thursday and Friday. Because these are the great days. That's it, man. You sit on the couch, you watch basketball for 12 straight hours. It's awesome. 888-808-1019. More of your calls next. We got a couple things we haven't touched on yet. The contracts. For Chase and Higgins, and how that could impact Garrett Wilson, then Stingley, and does that impact Sauce Gardner? So we got a couple of things around the NFL and how they could impact the Jets. He mentioned the I think he kind of threw me off there, Ross, but he mentioned MLB opening up at 6 a.m. today and the issues I have with that. A lot left to do, and still an hour or so to do it on our five-hour ride to midnight. McMonagle here with you on this Monday night, filling in for Keith until midnight right here on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
How about Joey Gallo? Joey Gallo, everyone's favorite Yankee, who is the poster boy of the three true outcome baseball player. Strikeout, walk, home run. Who was on track before getting traded to the Yankees to actually have a career. Two-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove winner, 40 home run hitter. And then he got traded to the Yankees and it all fell apart for him. I mean, he was, again, you could talk about what kind of a flawed player he was to begin with if you don't like that type of player. Strike out 300 times, hit 40 home runs, and hit 210 and with an on-base percentage of 330 because he walks a ton. Like, you could find the flaws in that type of player and say you don't like him, fine. But it has its ways of being productive, and at least he was good at that. And then he just fell off the table. To the point where the Yankees got rid of him. He struggled with, where did he go, Washington, Minnesota. Like, he's been kicking around on the White Sox. Like, he's been kicking around. And he's been released. And now he is trying to make an attempt to come back as a pitcher. He tweeted out, he's goodbye outfield. It was fun while it lasted. And then he tweeted out, just to be clear, I'm going to pitch now. Just in case. So Joey Gallo is making the comeback, trying to be have a little Ohtani in his game, and he's going to try and be a pitcher. Now, he's got a great arm, and I'm hearing some things that he's throwing upwards of 97 miles an hour, but that's just funny. I mean, Joey, what's that?
I'd be terrified standing there.
Yeah, I know. Can you imagine? I'm just saying, someone like Joey Gallo, who hit all these home runs, he's just powerful, but he just has, you know, no refinement to his game, is now all of a sudden going to be a pitcher. Like, I'm actually fascinated. Like, I know we've seen it before, typically the other way. I'm trying to think. Rick Gankiel obviously was a pitcher, lost his, you know, got the yips and couldn't throw a strike. He came back as a hitter and an outfielder and was actually, you know, fairly good. You know, all these athletes are good enough to pitch on some level or throw the ball hard enough to pitch. But that would be funny. Can you imagine Joey Gallo making it as like a reliever? That would be so funny.
Well, just get him to the Mets and they'll put him in the pitching lab. He'll be
fine. That's it. The pitching lab of the Mets will fix him. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
David Stern pixie dust.
I don't know what they're doing, man. Again, it's only spring. I don't know, but
I'm telling you, it's witchcraft.
Yeah, so what the Mets have done with the starting rotation these last 2 years. Again, they haven't done it yet with this one, but it looks good. And people don't believe me. You can speak to it, Rami. You were here for it. I defended and fought for Clay Holmes more than anyone else. I mean, I took all the slings and arrow. I took all the smoke. Klay Holmes is good. Klay Holmes has filthy stuff. Klay Holmes can pitch. I don't care about the ninth inning. I think that's BS that he can't do it in the ninth. Blah, blah. I've been fighting that Klay Holmes battle for forever. You can think whatever you want of me as the Yankee fanboy and Yankee shill, and I secretly hate the Mets and I'm lying. I promise you, I am rooting for Klay Holmes. Klay Holmes is my guy. Because and even if you think I'm like one of these, you know, people who need to be right all the time, Klay Holmes pitching well would kind of prove me right. I've been on the Klay Holmes thing for, Klay Holmes is an excellent pitcher. Excellent. And I'm hoping it works out of the starting rotation. I'm a little concerned because, and I'll be totally honest with you, I'm even concerned with spring training. And I wanted to say this, and here's why. What I don't like about Klay Holmes in spring is it's been too easy. The thing I worry about with Klay Holmes is he struggles to find it. When he's got the great stuff, it's no issue. When he comes in and the first two pitches are at the backstop, then you're like, well, how the hell is he going to turn this thing around? As a starter, he'll have more time to do it than the pressure situation of a ninth inning where you give up one run, you go home, or you give up two runs, you go home. But my fear is his inability to settle in and find it if he doesn't have it. And so far, every start in spring, he's just had it. And I'm telling you right now, when the days that Klay Holmes goes out there with good stuff, as long as he's able to pitch, you know, into give you five or six innings, as long as his arm gets accustomed to that and he's able to accomplish that aspect of it, when Klay Holmes has good stuff, he is damn near unhittable. So I think there are going to be games where Klay Holmes dominates. The question is the old pitching cliche or the pitching adage. You're going to make 30 starts. 10, you're going to have your stuff. 10, you're not going to have anything. And then 10 in the middle. And it's what you do in those 10 starts in the middle that will determine your season. The 10 starts that Klay Holmes has his stuff, he's going to give you really good starts. It's the 10 starts where he's got to find it and figure it out. Like right now, all that kick change, it's great. He's right. He's getting swing and miss on. It's unbelievable. What happens on the day where he doesn't have it? Like what happens on the day where he can't find his location with that kickstart? What happens when he comes out of the bullpen and it's just not there? Like starting pitchers have to adjust. You got to throw fastballs. You got to focus on your slider. You know, keep working until you find it. He really, A, hasn't been able to do it, or B, hasn't had the opportunity to do it as a one-inning reliever. As a starter, it's a different animal. It's a different game, and I'm curious to see how he handles it. But I am pulling for him, and right now he looks dominant in the spring, as well as every other freaking Met pitcher in the rotation.
What would happen if, I mean, it's Klay Holmes starting game one, Joey Gallo starting game two in a playoff series? Yankee fans would be in shambles.
Joey Gallo saving
right, a Klay Holmes win.
Lou in Astoria, real quick. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Cruz, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. Listen, great job with bringing Professor to the show. I think he's a gold WF fan. I had a lot of time that I called him, and he took my call. What a great guy. Very intelligent. I mean, I wish he could still have going on. I remember when he said, I would do this job for free, but I'm making millions. Can you imagine? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about you just mentioned Joey Gallo. He's not yes. worth mentioning at all. Please. I mean, you know, you want to talk about a guy that doesn't deserve to be mentioned, it's okay. But Klay Holmes, he has his stuff to be a great pitcher because he doesn't have just one pitcher like Mariano did.
No.
He has a variety of different pitchers, and he's going to do okay? I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, but you know what? I wish him well like you just did. But let me ask you something.
Yeah.
With the Yankees, I got a problem that they always put people out of position. They got Jason Dominguez right now when he plays in the other half, whatever they call it, he don't play with a regular guy. They put Bellinger in left field.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you let the kid be comfortable with his used to it? It's like right now we got Justin Wells, a catcher, the most efficient in baseball, and now you're going to make him batting first So he has to run.
No, he doesn't have to run. He doesn't have to run. Running's overrated. Leadoff hitters, especially for the Yankees with Judge, where are you running? Where are you going? You're going to risk getting thrown out in front of Judge? That's why I don't mind, you know, guys. I think he profiles fine as a leadoff hitter. He's just got to get on base. That's it. I don't need speed. And I actually like the idea of, you know, some of those lineups that everyone's been saying, you know, are the possible opening day lineups when they put them out. You've got like 6-7-8 or even 5-6-7 of Jazz, Volpe, and Dominguez. That's speed at the bottom of the lineup where I don't have the power. Like, if I get those guys on base, now I can play games. Now I can steal bases and try and create runs with the bottom half of the lineup that's not as good, not as powerful, not as dynamic. At the leadoff spot, say Volpe leads off or Jazz leads off or Dominguez leads off, someone with speed. Are you going to steal second base with Judge? Are you going to risk throwing someone out in front of Aaron Judge? Are you going to put on a hit and run with Aaron Judge at the plate? Are you going to do any of that? You're not. You're not. It's the idea, like, we talk about it when we were talking about the Knicks, and we're trying to go back to the 90s. You guys are looking for 1976 leadoff hitters. It's not 1976 anymore. They're not going to play this game in front of Judge. They're not going to mess around. Would I like speed or a guy who can go first to third? Is there a better option? Yeah, but again, Volpe's speed is wasted. So it's not like all of a sudden you're going to tell Wells, hey, listen, you got to change your entire game. Get a hell of a lot faster because you're a leadoff hitter. He doesn't have to run. He has to get on base. And I also like the idea of someone with pop, and you've seen him hit a couple of home runs here in spring training. I like to have someone with power at the leadoff, because especially in front of Judge, because he's going to get fastballs. I like 1-0 leads. I don't know about you. And I like, it's the same. Ken Singleton used to say it all the time about leadoff hitters in extra innings, because you don't want to walk them. You want to throw fastballs down the middle. You want to get ahead. You don't want to put anybody on in extra innings. You could say the same thing for leadoff hitters in front of Aaron Judge. You don't want to walk Wells to pitch to Judge. So I kind of, and a short porch lefty, power hitting lefty to lead off. If he could show that he can get on base, I actually like him as the leadoff hitter for this team. They don't have a better option. And forget the speed. That's my number one point about this. Forget the speed. You do not need Kyle Schwarber as the leadoff hitter for a dynamic Phillies lineup. You do not need speed at the top, especially in front of Judge, because I'll tell you, I will freaking be furious. You want to talk about getting mad, like, oh, Boone's an idiot. If Jazz gets on base and gets thrown out at second base while Judge is up, I'll be freaking furious, because that's stupid. It's stupid. All right. Now that I've explained all of that to you. 888-808-1019. Do we need a break, or are we going right to him? Oh, we need a quick break. We're going to be late. You okay with that?
Do I have a choice?
No.
But I have it.
Still, it's nice to just offer it to you.
Well, not really. No.
No, be better it's worse?
Just, well, if you just, you know, did your job.
I did my job.
Did you?
Oh, are you saying my job and get to you on time?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You don't seem concerned by that.
No, I don't. Not in the slightest. Maybe I should be. Maybe I'll get a call.
It's that fresh haircut. That's what it is.
That's what it is. It's emboldened me to do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Fresh shave, fresh haircut, looking good. Go. Wearing my nice green hoodie on St. Patty's Day.
Looking good, strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's strong.
Thought about you. Wait, nothing?
What?
Nothing green? Nothing to celebrate the day? You're not the kind of guy?
Nah, not my thing. Nah.
Couldn't find anything?
Nah, I didn't even look.
Didn't even look.
Not my thing.
All right.
No. I look good in green, too, though.
Did you find like a mafia movie t-shirt by any chance? Or no? There you go.
I did.
That's a lock.
I did.
You didn't even have to look for it. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Marco, come back. Finish our last hour of our five-hour ride to midnight here on this Monday night. McMonagle filling in for Keith McPherson here on The Fan.